Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and we are
fried chicken and waffles. Fried chicken and waffles is crazy. What are we doing?
What's so funny, Blake, is I feel like you would be the one who would be dancing and the most obnoxious while all of that was going on. If you were in the moment,
in the confessional, being like, I did it on purpose to mess with.
Well,
I
mean, the problem is, Blake, they would never air that confessional. So you would never get the confessional of you being like, that was the worst 5 minutes of my entire life. But I was going to pretend that I was having a great time, because how else to get through the worst 5 minutes of your life? But they would have never aired that confessional. So everybody would have been like, dude, this guy, Blake, sucks.
Dude, he's savory. He's sweet. It's what we want to eat. I was just like, oh my God, get me out of this. It does, like, I don't know. I guess that's where we're starting.
I didn't even finish my intro. You're just here.
Fried chicken
ahead.
And waffles. And you're kind of like, is this what I'm tuning in for? Like, this is one of those things where you're like, I've got that hot date and I go, I've never really told you this about my life, but I really like Survivor. Do you want to watch this episode with me? I think it should be kind of straightforward. There's not a lot of gameplay going. Let's just sit down and have some fun. And then there's a rap. There's a slow motion, like, fly montage. There's a savory. It's sweet. It's something good to eat. Fried chicken and waffles. And you're just like, okay.
I got St. Right. Clip, oh, I can't chat because I'm driving, Blake. Rip this episode apart. And then we have Mona Allen came at the speed of lightning just to watch Blake crash out. I mean, Blake, last night, the reaction to this episode is pretty much as negative as I've seen the reaction to an episode
of all time. Yeah, for at least the new era.
I mean, I think that there was an episode that people were bringing up where I'm like, okay, yeah, this is probably since that one. But this has been it's been such a negative reaction. And I've been defensive of this season, and I wasn't even able to do it. Blake, what was your take as you were watching this last night? And then, like, what was your take now that you've had time to settle with it, and now it's the morning? And I know you were in your date analogy, and you were, like, 95% of the way through. But, like, what are you taking away as a whole? Not just fried chicken and waffles, but what did we watch last night?
All my enemies are plotting. All my enemies are plotting.
Okay, I could at least do that because Star's great. Like,
and I just know that rapping. I know that some producer was like, we nailed it. We got Star's confessional. And it's like, okay, she's not really telling us what she thinks. And like, So what did I think about the episode live while watching it? Because I'm on West Coast, I always get a little bit of a, oh, I forgot. Don't watch Twitter after 5 o'clock. And there was a tweet from the specialist where it was like, yikes. I was like, the specialist ran by Phil Wood is tweeting like, okay, not my favorite. And I was like, oh no, if Phil's going sideways on it. And then I think, like everyone, we were looking for big things this episode. The next time on Survivor from last Wednesday was, boy, was this a thing that's going to open it up. David is gone. There's 4 versus 4. It's time to do this. And I think everyone lived in that moment for about 25 minutes. And then it was like, oh, the editors had to make this interesting because none of these people are going to make a move. It almost seems like people just forgot. Like, I think the other thing that actually bothered me, here's my biggest thing right now. They told us 3 separate times during the episode that you sitting at home have more information than these people. So don't get mad at these people on the show because they don't have as much information as you. And I see that as a huge, like, damn, even the producers don't trust that the fans are going to be able to like give up this negativity. Like, we promise these decisions are really bad, but they don't know what you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, gosh, why are you telling this in a confessional from Mitch? Jeff's telling us at Tribal Council. I can't remember where the third one was, but it is one of those things where they straight up say to you, either on the show or in their exit press, if you think you could better, why don't you get on the show? And you're like, bro, some of us are trying. Some of us are not legally allowed to be on the show because they worked on a reality show for CBS within the last
year. I wonder who they might be talking about.
And it is something where you're like, I definitely think it's way more admirable to be Chrissy. It's not admirable to get sixth place, fifth place. And how do Joe and Eva make it to the end? Of course, everyone would turn on them at eight. There wasn't even a question of going after Eva after it was gone in a second. And there's a couple people where it's like, but isn't it kind of fun to watch these guys clown around? And you're like, no, I don't really connect with that funny person that's being super funny. So I'm not really, God, that was super cool though. And that got me through the episode. So there is, am I not in the target audience? Is this season just bad and unsalvageable for the editors? I think that's probably the harshest thing I could say, but it is kind of like, what's going on where it seems like some of these people don't understand quite how it works of, I want to make a move. I do not trust the other people I'd have to make a move with though. So it's not advantageous for me to make a move. And you're like, bro, that is how the game
works. Okay, so you're talking about Mitch here, but I need to do an in defense of Mitch here because I feel like Mitch is getting most of the flack here. And I think something that's being glossed over, and even Will and I didn't really talk about it last night, and I want to do my in defense of real quick.
Yeah, be on Mitch's side.
The people who were coming to Mitch were the two people who literally voted for Mitch at the last Tribal Council. And we hear time and time again from people who have played the game that once somebody writes your name down, it is so hard to ever trust that person again. And in the new era, you are talking one day in between. Maybe you're not getting 2 days in between Tribal Council. So you're going to Tribal one night. You might have a day and then you do Tribal Council the next night. But most of the time, it's just happening day after day after day after day. Mitch is coming off of this going, every one of these people in this group of six just had my back at final 10 or at final nine, Every one of them had my back. Who didn't have my back? David didn't have my back, but he's sitting on the jury. Mary didn't have my back and Star didn't have my back. So Star and Mary didn't have my back last time. The other five people on this island did. Why would I leave the group I'm in and now join the two people who wanted to vote me out? And this is where, when you're talking about Blake, like, we have more information than the players. That's always the tricky thing with Survivor. There you go. That's Mitch right now. But this is my in defense of Mitch. And you're going to roast the guy like that. But here's the thing.
No, I was putting up the pertinent Mitch pick for
this is the picture of Mitch snoring yesterday. But here's the thing with Mitch. We know that Mitch is on the bottom of this alliance. We know it. We see it. We are watching it every single week that Mitch is not in with that group. But Mitch doesn't necessarily know that he is sixth. The edit is not telling us where Mitch fits with every single one of these people because Mitch's story has not been front and center. We're not getting a lot from Mitch's point of view. So to us as an audience, we're going, Mitch, it's so obvious that that group wants nothing to do with you. But we're also hearing that group say it time after time after time after time because it's the only thing they talk about. But Mitch doesn't know that. So why, if you're Mitch, put yourself in Mitch's shoes. Your name just came up at the previous Tribal Council. You got three votes. Two of the people who voted for you want you to go to rocks for them. And you would be one of the people who would be eligible to be rocked out of the game. Why would you do that? So I have to do a little bit of an in defense of Mitch because it seems stupid on the surface, but we are watching everyone's point of view. Mitch only has Mitch's point of view.
So I'm going to, in defense of the Mitch haters.
Oh, there you go.
Mitch does know this because Mitch voted for Say when Bianca went home. Mitch voted for Say when Charity went home, getting left out of everything. Mitch used his advantage to block Say's thing because he didn't feel safe around those people. And now I think somebody said something that blew my mind, was like, ever since Say has gone out, it was like, where does Mitch fit in? And Mitch is just like, okay, I'll jump on you guys now. But Mitch has had just as information as much as we did of Chrissy went home and nobody felt it was important enough to tell you. So how do you think you're in the inner circle?
Because and then votes by these people. That's what it comes down to, though.
Then you're bad. Then you're not a bad player, but maybe you need to think a little deeper. And maybe that's what we're hoping for. And I truly understand. Here's what I'm trying to say. Are you epic? Are you iconic? Are you whatever? No, unless you work with people that you don't trust. You're not iconic unless you put, you write in the sand, here's where these seven votes are. Why are these four people never voting against? You're not iconic unless you go strong arm the big alliance to crack. You're not, what is another word iconic besides iconic?
No, you're doing great. You're just on an iconic kick here. Poor Mitch. Are you trying to say Mitch is not iconic? Is that what you're
I'm trying to say? If you want to come on the show and you talk a huge game in your pre-survivor thing of like, I'm going to the end and I'm going to be one of the best survivor players of all time, you can't have these confessionals, I think two weeks in a row for Mitch, where it's like, oh, well, there's not a lot of people to work with. And it's like, yeah, that's why you needed to go at 10. Oh, well, I don't really trust these people. All right, you need to talk to them more. And then if somebody votes you, yes, I would hold a grudge too. But it is, what's better, holding a grudge and getting fourth place, or not holding, or what am I trying to say? Hold a grudge and get sixth place, or figure it out. And like, I got fourth, I lost in fire making. I did everything I could to figure this out.
Do you think that if you're Mitch right now, you're a huge Survivor fan, you've watched the older seasons and everything, you've seen the people who are just the last remaining number, who all of a sudden you become a positive person, right? Like if you get the final seven and the alliance of six is there and you're kind of the seventh, now all of a sudden you fit in. Do you think part of that is going through his head? And do you also think that Mitch just feels at this point, I can win? Like I can win this game if I get to final three against these people? Because that's what my question is coming out of this episode. Who thinks that they can win against who? That's where I'm trying to figure it out. Because when I'm watching people,
why does Mitch think he can beat other people at this time?
Well, this is what I'm asking. I'm just saying this as the question, and then we'll get into that. But like, if you're Mitch, why do you think you can beat Joe and Eva and Kyle and Camilla? Or do you not think you can beat them? If you're Kyle and Camilla, what makes you think you can beat Joe and Eva? If you're Shaheen, what makes you think you can beat Joe or Eva or Kyle and Camilla? If you're Joe and Eva, what makes you think that you can beat everybody else out there? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because that is important to the storytelling. And what we're hearing from everybody is Mitch is dangerous. He's the most dangerous person in the game. He can win it. But they're only talking about that from him being at final three. So what are you trying to do with Mitch, and where does Mitch feel that he fits into all of this? Is this what they're saying to him? Like, I get people are being like, Mitch is super complacent, whatever. I don't think Mitch is necessarily super complacent right now, but we're down to final seven. And I think that his final eight reasoning of these two just voted for him, I'm not going to work with them, makes sense. But now at seven, you might not have a choice but to do something. Like, Mitch is going to be in such a terrible spot next week if Kyle, Camilla, Mary, and Shaheen all vote out Joe or Eva, and Mitch is on the side of Joe and Eva, because then he wasn't going to beat Joe or Eva, and now he's throwing away his game for that. So that's just what I'm confused about.
Here's one thing I want to say for the Mitch haters. Again, it's not Mitch haters, but like this is just the kind of game where I think you have to, this is the brass tacks for Mitch. Who are you closer to than they are closer to somebody else? Like, you can't look at Joe and be like, I'm super close to Joe, because he has at least three people in front of you. Same thing with Eva. David and Mary were way closer to each other than him. Like, he's not close to the people that are going. He's oh, I don't really trust Star at all. It's like, okay, then who are you close to that you are going to rely on? And do you not understand that Survivor is this thing of relationships? And if your number one alliance that you're super close to, the last person that we could say that for is Charity, that was legitimately like 8 days ago now. And we need you to be able to get close to somebody where I will, like, every time he was taking on a reward, like one time it was, he's just really hungry. And so I think the magnifying glass has been on Mitch because he is the one who needs to make his relationships better, his game, his place in the game a little better to have a chance to win. And I think it's just an easy point at to go, everybody else kind of has a duo that makes sense to stick around. Like Camilla can live without turning over the apple cart because Kyle is the workhorse of the apple cart and she's with Kyle. Like, okay, maybe I'll sneak in at the end. Kyle already saved her once too when this was presented. Mary doesn't want to go after the Joe and whatever because, oh, David's working with them. I'm working with David. I can sneak in at the end. Those all make sense. Star should have, I mean, how do we get Eva's idol back from for Star? Like that, that's something where I'm like, I'm surprised that wasn't even said out loud.
Supposedly in the exit press, Eva was targeting Star the next day after Star gave her the idol.
I like, mean, it was
immediate.
I think that's something where I guess that's why that's not in the edit, because Eva needs to be a hero because that's what we've decided for her in the greater scheme of things. And if we have somebody be like, Eva, didn't she just give you an idol? Why do you want to vote her out? There's no real answer to that of, oh, she can't say that and be, I'm on honor and stuff above all, when it's like that person helps you in the game more than pretty much everyone besides Joe. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is like we're trying to make this episode of Digging Deeper interesting when it's like, what was your favorite part of the episode? It's like nothing. And so I can't imagine being the editors right now trying to take that. And is it just one day or was it 2 days because there was a reward challenge and an immunity challenge of like, this wasn't an explosive day. There wasn't any change really. And we had three people that needed to have some agency all sit on their hands. The thing that I need Mitch to do next episode, actually, he was in, it was a vote split, but he was one of the three Mary votes that didn't happen. If you're in a vote split and you're for voting for the person that didn't go home, that means they don't trust you and they don't want you to flip shit. Yeah. So I'm sorry if you don't know that. Blake, do you know that because you have all the information? Or should that be readily available if you listen to podcasts before you go out to Fiji? Hey, by the way, if you're trying to prepare for the new season of 49 or 51, if you are part of the vote split that doesn't go home, nobody trusts you to follow through.
Yeah.
And they're doing a contingency plan without you. So who is going to go after Joe and Eva? Joe winning that immunity challenge, did it just, oh, we, it was clearly Joe at eight and then he won immunity. Well, then how are you not, but we're going to get rid of Eva. So, and that never happened. So I don't think I can trust any of these players pretending like we were going to go after them.
I think that's the biggest confusion. And that's what Will and I talked a lot about last night, was with Joe being immune. This had like an old school Survivor feel of Joe's immune. And now the question should become, will they get rid of Joe's closest ally or will they stick to the status quo? And rather than the question becoming, will they get rid of Joe's closest ally or stick to the status quo? It was, which member of the status quo is going home? Like, which one of those two is just going to be booted from the game? And that's
like an instant switch too.
Yeah, that's what really confused me. Like, why wasn't Camilla more worried now about saying, well, why don't we get rid of Eva? And I think that's what really, really bothers me. And yeah, so anyway, that's just where I come from in this entire situation. And I know I said this on the Patreon earlier today, but I think what killed me about this episode is I thought this was the final nine episode. I thought that's what this was going to be.
At least
I
twice.
Said, yeah, but I
like,
said
there's only five people left. And it was like, no, there's seven. I was like, what?
I said to everybody, though, get through the final nine and we're going to be good, because then they're going to start to go at each other. And I said, we're going to get a predictable star boot at Final Nine. And then David went, and I said, man, it sucks that David went, but maybe we skipped the boring episode. Maybe they're going to start playing. And then it went to the worst version of what I thought that Final Nine was going to be. And that's what killed me. We have Philip in the chat, probably ready to just get random strays from you, Blake, for no
other
reason.
Philip.
Yeah. The sheer fact that Jeff referred to it as fried chicken and waffles shows that man is not a true chicken and waffles connoisseur. I was thinking the same thing. You go to a restaurant. You were joking saying you were at Roscoe's earlier today.
Oh, I had to get lunch at Roscoe's.
Did you actually go to Roscoe's or no?
No, I went to California Chicken Kitchen, but
same thing.
No free sponsors.
But it's always, always chicken and waffles. You don't say I want fried chicken and waffles. You say I want chicken and waffles. Like if somebody gives me a piece of grilled chicken with my waffle, I am throwing that on the ground and stomping on it. They get a 1-star review. I'm probably saying that they have like termites everywhere. What is it? Not termites, cockroaches. Like I'm ruining that restaurant. So like fried chicken and waffles, no shit.
And honestly, it was like, I think one thing the producers would probably say is like, we didn't go to the sanctuary.
Which I was so pumped about.
Wasn't that cool, you guys? We went somewhere else. Besides, they were on a boat. They
Blake,
did this a bunch.
Like, you're not allowed to be negative about that. We did not go.
We
to
did
the
not
sanctuary.
Go to the sanctuary.
That's
we
actually the, huge.
We went
that
to
is
the Waffles
huge.
Palace instead.
Well, you are Blake. You have to crawl to walk. You have to walk to run. You know, this is they finally have stopped crawling. They're stumbling when they stand up, but like the sanctuary is going away. It's going to happen. Goodbye, sanctuary.
You ready for the? It's not a hot take. You ready for the most like this is. An actuality I did not understand until last night.
Sure.
David was way more important to this season, way more important to the narrative, way more important to the stakes, way more important to the overall makeup of the cast, the payoff of everything than
Say
I
it.
Thought.
And way more important to the entertainment thing.
That's what I'm meaning. Yeah. That's what extends from there. I will say it once again. I've already talked about how it looks like he wanted to kill people while he was currently in the game. It's even more insane. I think he's going to be memed to death, just like Eliza was memed to death on the jury a couple times.
Wait, so you're saying David and Eliza are the same?
They are the same person. Yes.
I'm saying David ripping himself on Patreon and he's just doing it to get money. Is that what you're saying?
No. David on the jury is something where if I was still in the game and I voted out David the last night, I think I would be so full of anxious energy. I wouldn't even look to the right. I could probably hear him go like or once or twice. And my friend who I mentioned, I don't mention by name, but like he said, has anyone ever broken the, like, you can't talk from the jury and talked to the current players? And I was like, if they did, like, CBS would never put that in. Yeah, sure. And he was like, I'm pretty sure. How did David just not talk at all, but look like he's literally going to go beat everyone up?
If he's in any type of movies or TV shows and you're a stuntman, most of the time you're doing a grimace while you're like flailing your body or something. He has the grimace down.
Oh, that's just what he looks like. Okay.
I think okay. But I want to say this because David got so much. I talk all the time about how much unnecessary hate I think David got on this season. I think the biggest thing is if you really hate somebody on TV and it's not like they're saying things that are offensive. Because David didn't do anything offensive. People want to say he's a misogynist. He didn't do anything offensive. He didn't do anything misogynistic. People just throw around these buzzwords to try to make people seem more evil than they are. And so when you really don't like somebody on TV, especially in a reality show.
You don't want to see him back.
No. But the longer they make it on the season, the better the season is. Because... Mm. What happens is they keep making you say, I want this person to come home. That's what I was doing last night, halfway through the episode. There's another picture of Mitch sleeping.
No, David.
Yeah, no, David. That's how I feel. But the thing is, like, why do we bring Abby Maria back? If you legitimately like the person Abby Maria was on Survivor Philippines, you are a sociopath. You have problems, right? But if you enjoy Abby Maria from an entertainment standpoint, I agree. I understand. and Abby Maria got to play a second time because you feel something for Abby. Now, you might love to watch Abby and you might be rooting for Abby to continue to succeed, but you're not sitting there going, man, Abby, that's who I strive to be when I get older. If I play Survivor, I want to be just like Abby Maria. But then when she comes back and she does the second chance and Savage flips her the bird, like, it's unbelievable, right? It's all such good TV. But the thing is, you want Abby Maria to stay. You want Russell to stay. You just want Russell to get a smaller edit. You want the villains to stay. That's why we did a whole season of Heroes versus Villains. Why were people loving Say? Because Say is great TV, right? I don't want to go out and play the game like Say because I won't win. But Say is great TV, so you want to keep watching her. David is great TV. There are people who love David. There are people who hate David. But you don't want David to go because once David goes, everything David said in the last episode was coming true. And there's nobody to actually push for anything. David would have been pushing harder and harder here at Final Eight, probably to getting himself voted out of the game. But he would have been pushing, and we saw no push. When you hate somebody on the show, you want them to stay in the game at least until Final Six. You want them to make the episode before the finale because that means that you got this feeling the whole season, and every good TV show needs a hero and a villain. And if you don't have a villain, there's no reason to watch. I'm not going to watch the finale of a TV show if the villain died in the episode before because there's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing there, right? And so that's what I think people are missing. David was so big to this season, and we felt his absence big time. All the David haters who were saying last night was the worst episode of the season, David was probably the best part of the episode. Because he just sat there and stared and is exactly how we all felt, which was a lot of head shaking, a lot of angry staring, and a lot of wondering why the hell are these people not doing something? So there you go. There's my David speech. Blake, do you disagree with that about the whole, like, if it's a villain, you should want them to stay? Do you disagree with that?
So I've worked in casting for 12 years. One thought process I always have is like, I only have to deal with them for like an hour and a half, but we're going to unleash them on the cast and they're going to be around them 24/7. Some of my favorite people to cast are the chatty Cathy types that are 24 to 28 year old women that will talk about anything and everything for literally 8 hours straight. And those are very hard to get through executives. Those are very hard to get onto a show because they'll be like, she drives me crazy. And it's like, that's the point. And if we put a chatty Cathy on Survivor and she's talking the entire time you're doing a balance ball challenge because she's been out for an hour and a half already, somebody's going to blow up on her. And I don't think Abby Maria is a chatty cat. Like, I think there's a little bit more nuance to that. But it is like, we put people on the show to grind some gears, rough around the edges. We don't want people to be like, I hate you for who you are as a person or your religion, race, whatever. That's insane. That's not how casting works. But we are trying to find people that will be like, you big buffoon. Like, of course you don't have a social game. And the other thing that was crazy is we had somebody say out loud, I have a crazy social game. It's just these people don't understand how it works at all. And that was Mary, I believe. And it was just like, okay, what are the editors, producers saying by that? Of like, I think that was another, you think you know everything, Survivor fan, but you'd be just like Mary, even more lost because she has a good social game like you claim to be, and she has no chance of winning this game. And I think that's a thing, like, we're at, this is final six now or seven?
Final seven, we're at final seven.
So of the final seven, how many of them have a shot to win the game that are left? Is it two of them?
I think five. People think I'm crazy. I think there's five. And I think that's the one thing saving the season is that there are five people who can win. Camilla, Shaheen, Kyle, Joe, Eva. All five of them can win.
Okay.
And honestly,
I would agree with four of those. So,
and honestly, if Mitch sits next to Mary and I don't know.
You don't know. Mitch cannot win. Mitch, stop. Let's be
Why does Mitch still have more professionals than Joe?
Because they're trying. No comment.
I'm just wondering. I don't know why. It's crazy.
I want to say I don't think there's a way Eva wins. I truly don't understand.
She would be my fifth out of those five.
Like, yeah, I would jump her from that. I would agree with four of those people have a shot, which makes sense. We're going to probably eliminate two of them, and then it'll be very clear of who's going to win based off the finale, I think. And I think we're just... That's the thing I actually do want to say real quick is there's two people I think that could win. And then the third one, I'd be like, wait, what? Joe is either going to win or it's going to be Kyle. And I think that'll be it makes so much sense whenever they give us that last 2 hours of content and we're all going to go, okay, that was either satisfying or I hate the other people for not making a move. More likely people are going to go, I hate the other people for not making a move. If Shaheen wins, I think this editing was absolutely awful.
See, what's funny is everybody, I said last night that I thought Shaheen take a big loss last night, and Will said, no, I think Shaheen's still going to win the game. I think that was a good episode for him. And the chat and the comments are pretty much agreeing with Will. People are feeling like Shaheen's there, but I'm kind of in agreement with you where I'm getting kind of lost in what Shaheen's story is here. And I feel like a win from him would surprise me a little. I still think Joe, though, I'd probably put Joe at fourth. I think I'd put Shaheen ahead of Joe with likelihood to win. I think
here's me putting some stuff down. Let's see if we could pick it up. There's no spoilers here, but it really made sense to go Joe to go home last night.
It did.
But he won immunity. Uh-huh. So are we headed for Joe has immunity a couple of these times where it would have made sense? We couldn't make the move because the numbers didn't make sense, or he won immunity, or the numbers didn't make sense, or he won immunity. And then Joe wins the fire over Eva, and Eva goes like, you know what, Joe? If it couldn't be me, I'm glad it's you. Super emotional. Everyone's crying on the jury, even though they all hate each other at Final Four. And then David's not crying. David has fire in his eyes.
David still has not moved. He's still in the same position.
David's still like... Joe beats Eva at fire. It's the only way that Eva could possibly go. And then it is kind of a, what are you talking about? I'll figure out my beef with David. And then everyone else goes, yeah, Joe was pretty likable. And it was crazy last night.
I think this is a great comment from Daryl Seymour. Joe got a negative edit this episode with Mary calling out his jury management. I think that was really bad for Joe. I think that was terrible for Joe because Mary right now is somebody who we as an audience are being led to believe is just along for the ride. She's had no merit in anything. She hasn't been the influential vote in anything. She's been lucky to survive. She keeps getting duped. And now here she comes saying, this guy is so transparent. He's just trying to work me for the jury. I don't feel like that's a good thing. I feel like that's a bad thing. I think that was portrayed and displayed to us as a negative for Joe, not a positive for Joe. And I think right now, here's the deal with Joe. Joe's a good guy. Joe's a very likable guy in real life and on the show. The players like him, fans like him, everybody likes Joe. There's probably not a lot of negative to show of Joe if he's going to lose. So they're trying to find what they can. And this felt like one of those things that they were trying to find. And it makes sense to me that they would include this if Joe loses.
But I'm not trying to disagree with you on everything.
It seems like you are.
That did seem like a negative thing for Joe. I think there's more negative for every other person in the game where maybe they're just trying to balance it out so it's not as obvious.
What's negative for Kyle so far?
The whole episode of him getting caught with his pants down of like, why don't you want to vote out Camilla? And he has no response.
But that person went home. The only one who was worried about it was David, and David's gone.
No, I get it. But I'm saying if somebody pulls a gotcha moment at Final Tribal and Kyle drops the ball in the end zone, that's going to make sense to me. So
I want to hear this because that's a good response. What about Camilla? What's the negative for Camilla?
Camilla would have been gone at least three times if it wasn't for somebody else. And I think the jury will be able to understand that of how are you saying that's your good gameplay when that was a decision Kyle made.
And what's the negative for Shaheen?
I think that's where I'm a little confused is he's not the figurehead. He has been the one who's been getting votes. He has been the target for every single person to be like, this, I want to get in with the group. I'm going to give up Shaheen as the thing. And I think there's at least been a couple times where somebody said, we're going to lie about our relationship with Shaheen to smokescreen another player. So a lot of people are going to be like, I thought Shaheen was closer or did more. And then it's going to be like, that wasn't Shaheen's thing. And then they're going to be like, wait, I thought Shaheen was the mastermind this whole time. I think the crappy answer about this season is there isn't a mastermind. It's just kind of a, this does make sense for all of us to go. And there's no counter mastermind to take us out. So
until Mitch wins.
Mitch wins. 48.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, Mitch is getting a weird Ben Katzman type edit where I think he could be the zero vote finalist at this point, where he gets there but has that whole thing of everybody likes me, but I wasn't able to make my own moves. Mitch getting a confessional in every episode is pretty wild to me, and especially how many he's gotten is pretty wild to me for somebody who has had literally no control over anything that has happened on this season. I think that's crazy. And that's what I kept saying with Ben. People were like, well, Ben's me. I'm like, but he's something. There's something here. And he made final three because of it. I think Mitch, like, I would be more surprised if Mitch went home next week than I would if Joe or Eva went home next week.
Okay. I could agree with that. Of if you were going to vote out Mitch, it wouldn't be at final seven because you need to get a threat out at final seven. And Mitch is no longer threatening to anybody's game. I agree with you there. I think what I'm missing from this season, and maybe I miss this from a lot of seasons, but I think it would fit in perfectly here. And maybe Mary had some of this juice and it just wasn't shown in her confessionals at all. But like some, who was going to make fun of, like, I can't believe Jeff made us sing about chicken and waffles. That was so eye roll or whatever. Or Shaheen has funny jokes all the time, but I'm just laughing so I don't get voted out. Like, I haven't really liked his jokes. Like, yeah, everyone's ha ha ha, but he says the same jokes every time or whatever. And then like Joe wants to be a what, like somebody who's like not, I guess the way to say it in Australia is like take the piss out of the whole thing. And you're like, who is gonna do that of like not agree with everything Survivor's trying to do? We need somebody to be a little bit contrarian of like,
I think there were people, but they just don't show it. I think that's the problem.
And like, I need that Survivor to build the narrative of like, give me somebody to agree with or disagree with instead of like Survivor has decided what the narrative is. Mm-hmm. Like, I do miss some of that. Like, even with smaller episodes, it feels like we got a wider range of stuff where how has nobody rolled their eyes at Shaheen yet to be focused in a thing of like, Shaheen's a great guy. It seems like he's going to be in this for the long haul. But man, his jokes, it was the wahahaha thing was the first time. Like, we wrote Wi-Fi on the side of a tree. Like, is that truly a funny thing? Or is this like, did you plan this joke 8 years ago when you first started applying so you could get a good audition tape? Like, I don't know what's real. And I feel like that would drive me crazy on the island. But it's like, maybe that's why I wouldn't be cast. Because in this new era, we want, no, everyone, like, the Wi-Fi password was so funny. And then he started doing the wah-ha-ha-ha during that challenge. And that was super cool too. And it's like, Shaheen, I love you. You're all over Twitter doing your fights with back and forth with people from old era. I get it. But maybe there's going to be some people of the 4 million people that don't immediately go, that's the funniest person I've ever seen.
It sounds like you might be one of those people.
I don't know. Maybe. Right. It's salty. It's sweet. It's salty. It's savory. It's sweet. It's what I want to eat. It's savory. And then he threw the whipped cream on her face.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was so funny.
No. That pretty much made Survivor Twitter's night. It was like, this is how we have all felt all season. It was just him throwing it. I forget who tweeted that, but it just said, this is how we felt all season. And Shaheen just throwing the whipped cream at Eva's face. Okay. Let's talk about this show.
One final thing. We got some people being like, some of these people are going to win. I think people always forget Final Tribal Council is an immunity challenge, but it's all based on your oral presentation skills.
Yeah, and which Shaheen would win that.
We have a lawyer and we have a debate coach. Mm-hmm. And then we have somebody that has a stutter and somebody that is autistic and somebody that like, I think this is something where, unfortunately, that's brass tacks stuff of like, who are you going to listen to talk about in a public speech longer than 2 hours and be like, wow, they had all their stuff in a row. And I think that's where we're headed for on one of these things where it's like, wow, how did that person lose? How did that person win? Who's in the middle of that? And well, like, how does Shaheen win? Oh, he just, now he can nail everybody.
Yeah. For anybody who thinks that that might be harsh. I mean, we did see this in Korong where they literally said that with Ty.
Can't understand talking, Ty at all. Yeah.
They literally, the jury said that they could not understand what Ty was trying to tell them. His story was, it just became between Aubrey and Michelle. And I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. Like somebody had commented up here earlier saying Mitch could win a bitter jury. I think Mitch could absolutely win a bitter jury. If they're really bitter, if Mitch is sitting there next to Joe and Kyle and everybody
why
on that,
they, why would they not also be bitter about Mitch? Not
they're not
going
to be bitter about Mitch blindsided. I mean, who knows? But I want to talk about, to get off of this, cause you were talking about, you know, you can't tell what's real and all that. Let's talk about manufactured moments. Okay,
let's do it. I think there's a lot in the new era.
Let's talk about inauthentic moments and why this needs to be the end. First of all, you
I
can
feel
rip
like a goat on AstroTurf. Yeah, manufacturing moment number one.
We can keep ripping Shaheen for the song, but Will brought up a good point last night because I was ripping it too. But Will brought up a good point last night. He said, "Look, if Jeff Probst, the host of the show, is going to do this and egg you on, you're going to follow along because you know what's going to get screen time. You're going to try to have fun with like." You know that he's in control of casting, whatever. Okay.
Or great. You're Jonathan Pinner and you go blow it out your asshole.
Yeah.
Jeff
well,
Probst.
That's true. That's
and
true.
That's an icon.
But then
and I want Jonathan Pinner.
But number two, we also get a rice negotiation in this episode where there was no rice negotiation. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I have my points coming, Blake. You're just really feeling yourself right now.
Preach it, Phil.
But here's the thing. These are two manufactured moments. Fried Chicken and Waffles, the song, it's an eye roll for me. And I saw Teeny's post yesterday where he said, I would have made a sinkhole and sunk into it. And I thought that was great because me and Teeny are from the same area of New Jersey. And I said to myself, maybe this is just a very anti-New Jersey thing. Like, maybe this is just a New Jersey, I can't get this. Like, I can't go along with this. Who knows? But then I start to see the reactions around. I'm like, okay, no, everybody agrees that this is cringy. So you have that forced moment. Then you have the forced rice negotiation. The rice negotiation was iconic because of Angelina Keeley. Say her name. Say it again. If you
bring
cut
her back,
her, if you
let
cut
her,
her
come on the island for the
rioting, it's bad enough half the people that you hear are being cut. But if Angelina gets cut, that's going to be brutal. If she wants to play, she better be on the damn island. The reason the rice negotiation is good is because of her. Okay. Every one of these in the new era has been terrible. It's so forced. You're going to give up this many people, blah, blah, blah. Last season, we gave up our shots in the dark. It is done. We need to never see this again unless you get a Drew Christie level of delusion. Okay. That is the only way I am willing to sit down and watch the rice negotiation ever again. Stop forcing these things because when you force it, it's never that good. Okay. This rice negotiation took up less than a minute and a half in one of the worst episodes of Survivor I have ever podcasted about. Okay. It still took up less than a minute and a half because it was that irrelevant and that boring. Stop doing that. I'm over it. I think everybody is over it. And look, I feel like I am probably, as much as this might surprise people, I feel like I'm more positive than a lot of people in this community when it comes to the show. Okay. I back up Jeff on a lot of what he does. I back up the cast on a lot of what they do, whatever. But when it comes to this forced BS, nobody wants it. The only one who wants it at this point, I think, is Jeff. We need to cut it. We need to cut it. It's not good. That's the one thing somebody listens to me about. That's the thing I want. Stop forcing the manufactured stuff. It's never as great as you're thinking it is. The Eva and Joe moment might be the best moment in the 48 season run of the show. And that was not manufactured. It just took place because it was two people in a real situation. So just do it.
Here's two thoughts about that really quickly. Let me do the Joe and Eva part of this. Joe and Eva had one of the best moments in the 48. But I think we need to not treat them like they're infallible people. And yeah, I do think we needed to have a little bit more of like, do they have a shot to go home? Are some of them annoyed with them? I don't know if the people on the island saw that and were like, we could never vote either of them out. I need to align with them. That looks like that happened a little bit to build an alliance with. But if they never go home, I'm going to understand the editing on this. But I wish there would be a little bit like, it's very hard to connect with Eva. And we learn about that part of the social situation. Or I don't know what I'm doing. If Star ever said, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, I gave Eva an idol and it still feels like we don't have a good relationship. And honestly, does she feel like she needs to ask for the idol back? Is she mad that it didn't do anything? Like, we didn't get any of that layer of their game. And I do think it would be like, well, because it kind of puts Eva in a bad light. And it's like, I think we can have that moment a month and a half ago, relish in that moment. That was so amazing. And then still have Joe or Eva take a villain swing instead of like, well, because they did something really cool in episode 4, we can't have them have anything other than hero moments for the rest of the season, or that'll cheapen that.
See, and it's go ahead. Sorry, I don't want to go ahead. You're good.
No, I'm at the end of that one. You go.
Okay, you're at the end of that one. So see, for me, I do feel like they've shown more blemishes of Joe. I think Eva's been a little bit more protected, because when I'm hearing that she's targeting Star immediately after Star gives her the idol, honestly, it feels like the editors are protecting, but also like, let's see Eva be cutthroat then. Like, if the point of this
so much cooler than what we
right have. And I hope that nobody takes this the wrong way. So I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna say this, and if it comes across as uneducated, I apologize. But if the point with the casting decisions is to put somebody like Eva on, who is the first person we know going into the game is on the spectrum, right? She has autism. She's very open about that. If to put her on the show is to show she can do this, and that this is going to be this huge thing for other people with autism who are going to say, man, I can play this game. I can look up to Eva. I feel, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but I feel that she should be treated the same way as the other 17 people on that island, because then it's not like, oh, her one thing is she has autism and the editors are almost like scared to make her look like a villain. Make her look like a villain. If she's doing villainous things, make her be villainous. I would love to see her go
when she scores a hockey goal against some team against dudes.
Yeah.
And probably showboats afterwards. Those people on the other team probably hate her gut.
They're ready to slam her into the
board. Like, I want to see that layer of Eva, because that's human.
Yeah. And like, when Star gives her the idol, I want Eva to say she gave me the idol. And if there's a confessional out there of her saying, that wasn't very smart of her, though, because I'm still ready to vote Star out. Give me that. Right. We don't need Eva to be perfect. And so I do think that Eva's been more protected than Joe has been. I think Joe has been, we're starting to see a little bit of like Joe's ego getting in the way of some of the decisions that he's making. And at least like in some of the feeling that he has towards people. I think the David instance was the first of that. And then I think when Shaheen didn't pick him to go on the reward, not Shaheen, when Kyle didn't pick him to go on the reward, I think we saw a little bit there. And he said, maybe it was really smart of him to leave me back here because he wants me to babysit, but it really hurts. And you're starting to see Joe a little bit not understand the game. And so I do think Eva's being a little bit more protected. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know. But that's just how I feel about that whole entire situation. And I agree with you that they had this moment together. But you know what? Like, let's think about Game Changers, okay? To bring up the darkest moment in the history of the show. When that happened, two episodes later, they were giving Zeke like one of the ultimate villain edits. Zeke was immediately villain, villain, villain. Andrea's voting Zeke out of the game or whatever, however the order went. But she's like, I can't believe you. Like, I need to get rid of you. They weren't scared to show him in a negative light.
Right.
So that's just for me. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, now the second half is, let's talk about the manufactured stuff.
Yeah.
Of, I can't believe that they didn't like crop out the bag of rice and be like, there wasn't a negotiation, because that went nowhere.
Yeah.
And like, is it is it something that we need to see as an audience where Mitch goes, there's only 7 days. Of course I'm not giving this food up. I want this immunity challenge. And like, we hear that from a couple other people. And then we have this moment of Shaheen. Like, this is my roll my eyes with Shaheen a little bit. Cause I said maybe 2 episodes ago, it feels like Shaheen is playing All-Stars for his first time.
Yeah.
And he's kind of talking about, maybe he's already gone through this process because he was an alternate. And we talked about, he was an alternate. We saw the bearded guy that looks crazy. We know this. If you're a super fan who's watching all these podcasts, you know this about Shaheen. Shaheen is not taking this in as his first time. It's, I've seen this on TV. I know how this is supposed to go. Here's what I rehearsed in my head. And now it's time to say what I'm ready to say. And it's like moment number 5 of that, in my opinion. So it's time to do the rice negotiation. And Jeff Probst says, nobody wants this. And Shaheen goes, yes, it is boring. The players, if you want to do twists and turns for the players and make them jump through hoops, we're going to give you just as many hoops and twists and turns to go through yourself. That's why we're not playing this game. Too bad, so sad. And in my mind, I'm just like, as a producer, why are you leaving that in? As a producer, it has to be more interesting than, like, even in Exile Island, it was like, here's a burger, or do you want to play this? Yeah. Like, how's it not like, I know you guys are hungry. Here's a burger.
Can I say the timing of this was terrible? They half the tribe just ate chicken and waffles.
Seriously, like, who cares about rice?
They literally just ate chicken and waffles the day before. The last thing I want to eat after eating chicken and waffles the next day is a bunch of white rice. I'm not thinking about that.
And it was fried chicken and waffles. It was, yeah. Fried rice, maybe I'd do it. But there is some stuff where it's just like, Mitch, aren't you the hungriest? Like, how is Mitch's personality for in-game is, I'm the hungriest and I haven't been on a reward. Like, yeah. Is that going to pay off? Or, and I feel like there's a couple things that we have trained our audience to be like, pay attention to this. Eva has said, because I have autism, I will not be able to understand when people are lying to me. That has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's coming. I'm holding out hope. I still think it's coming.
She goes at set. She can't go at 7 because she's safe no matter what next. She has XL without power or whatever.
Is she really gonna leave tribal?
Why would she leave?
No way.
You're not James Clement, bro.
I don't think she leaves tribal council next week, because I think leaving tribal council next week would be an incredibly short-sighted move. If she's at that and you're at final 7.
You told everyone 2 seasons ago, play your idol as soon as you have it or at the last possible thing. You can't go back on this.
Play your idol whenever. No. I still say play your idol whenever. Safety without power is totally different. Safety without power is literally harming your alliance. Because you're not now at tribal council. That's just my opinion on that. But I don't know. I could be wrong. Either way, I think that either Joe or Eva.
Last person played along the whole season. So.
What?
Rachel played it and won the whole season. So.
Yeah, well, she needed to. She didn't have a choice. I mean, if Eva gets 7. See, the thing is, I don't think Eva or Joe will see it coming when it is their time to go.
I don't think they're going. I think they're in the final.
I still think you're crazy.
I think they're in the final 4.
I don't think, I would be surprised at this point if both of them make the finale. I would.
So who's going home at 7?
I think one of them. I'm going to hold out hope. I think it's one of them. I do believe that Shaheen, Kyle, Camilla, and Mary are going to get together. I think that's going to be the group of 4, and I think they're going to vote out Joe or Eva next.
I'll use my safety without power, and I'll give my idol to you, Joe. But
they're not going
to
know. Why would you give up your idol's good through 5 if you feel that good about your position in the game, good enough that you feel like Joe is going to be safe?
He loves Joe that much.
No, dude, but Joe's not going to play it. Joe doesn't feel in danger at all.
All right.
I mean, you might be right. This could just go down as a very straightforward or it's
Pagong and the, like, is it Kyle, Shaheen, Eva, and Joe to the end? That would blow my mind, but no. I think
Kyle, Shaheen, Joe, Eva, you think that's the final 4?
I mean, that's their alliance that they're sticking to no matter what.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't. You might be right, but I don't see it. I don't.
If they made it past your
rant against Shaheen earlier, I think that they're probably laughing at me right now.
Here's an actual question for you. Do you think the season is going to get better?
Yes.
Or do you think we have plateau? Like, the best episodes of the season are done and over with?
I don't think it can get worse. I don't think it can get worse. I think that is that last night's episode was terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible in every facet. It's not even just the gameplay aspect of things, right? Because the gameplay might make total sense for every single person who was out there.
Right.
It was terrible
because have gameplay that makes sense that isn't it was entertaining. Just put That's together clear.
So poorly. I was thoroughly bored the entire time. I thought it was really poorly put together. And I have not felt that way through the first 9 episodes of this season. So if anybody wants to give me a hard time for being like too negative here, it's like, no, I've enjoyed this season. I haven't loved it. It's not great. There are parts that I don't like. There are parts that I really like. But I think I was probably the most positive about this season out of any of the big, I don't know. I don't even want to say we're big, but out of any of the podcasters out there, I feel like I was probably one of the more positive on this season. Last night's episode was just bad. Just a bad, boring episode of TV. Could have been an email, right? People overuse that phrase, but last night's could have been an email. That's the episode. If you miss it and you watch the previously on Survivor, you're chilling. You're fine. But maybe it's a great setup episode. And maybe, Blake, when you go to watch this season in 4 years for Every Season Matters, we go through this and we go, wow, this season's really not that bad because we binge through this episode knowing the next episode is amazing. Right now, we are in a cave. And we are neck deep in water and we're like, man, if this gets any deeper, we're going to drown. But we could be about to get out of the cave. We just can't see what's there right now. I hope I don't drown.
That was something that I was also thinking about is there's some bad seasons that we're rewatching, but on a, it's over and done with in 8 hours of watch it all on Paramount Plus, which is, I'm on Team Nathan Fielder. I don't know if you watched that episode. Did you watch the rehearsal episode 2? Okay, everyone go watch the rehearsal season 1 first and then go watch season 2. I think this is a season that watching it live and getting all the inner mind work of like, what did Star, honestly, love Star's personality. I do think her not playing the shot in the dark is a, what are we doing? I do think she is talking a big game. She has not walked that game. Uh-huh. And it is a unfortunate boot that she's going at 8 because she was fun and had a great personality. But I don't think she stretched any strategic stuff to go further. And people were like, oh, bad cast for her. Yes, there was some people. But it did make sense to me of she's going home because she has played relatively worse than some of these other players.
She did not make the relationships necessary.
No. And it was just like, I want to root for Star, but I'm surprised she has made it to 8. She could have gone at 12, 11, or 10, and I would have been like, that makes sense. So I'm just glad she made it to 8. And it made sense why she's not going to really have a lot of confessionals, because even in her boot episode, she's like, all right, Mary, I'm voting for you. You vote for me. Like, nothing we can do. And it's like, well, that is not engaging. And then play your shot in the dark. It's a 1 in 6 chance. Nah.
I think she thought she was good. I think she thought Mary was the one. And me and Will talked about that last night. I don't really, one way or the other.
I mean, that's just so disappointing to think that. Of like, I guess I could be Snow too. But in her final confessional and on her goodbye, Jeff, she doesn't go. Yeah, she doesn't go like, wow, you guys, I can't believe that happened to me. Mm-hmm. She's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, we dug deeper. I've now talked for over 2.5 hours because I did my Patreon episode too. Talked for over 2.5 hours about this episode.
About your favorite episode of
I'm done.
48.
I'm done. I'm talking to Austin at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Quick, ask a whole bunch of questions, everybody, so Phil has to talk for under 35 minutes.
I can smell my dinner is almost done. I'm ready to get out of here.
Like asking a question about 47. They were so bored about 48. Did you see that earlier?
I did.
Last year, would you have given up your shot in the dark?
Blake, I really hope that next Thursday we sit down and we say, holy shit, that was good. Because last week, I feel like we had a really good time. We really liked that episode. You were putting pictures up. It was great. This week, Blake was like, I'm not getting pictures. I'm going to go for a walk. I don't know. He's only got one and he's about to put it up again. I can see the smile on his face. He's so excited.
You literally can watch my face and know what's happening.
There it is. There's Mitch. All right, everybody. This is what you should all be doing tonight. Rest up. Get ready for Saturday. I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as possible.
What's happening Saturday?
I'm podcasting with Austin at 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Blake, for you, start watching Samoa, man, because we're into token genius for Every Season Matters. Everybody, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialists. It's a new month. It's the start of a new month. We got so much going on. I'm going through Blood versus Water of Australian Survivor. If you want to listen to me just have mental breakdowns every Friday, there it is. That is the worst season of Survivor maybe ever. I am dying watching that. Trevor Eisenhower says Abby Maria for 50. I would take it. I'm fine with it. That's funny. That's fine. I'll take it. We also got the casting perspective. We've been talking a lot about the Survivor 50 cast over on the Patreon. We'll probably be putting out something about the Survivor 50 cast over here at some point. That'll be nice. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, share this with your friends, share this with your family.
Shaheen, I'll buy you a beer in public. I promise.
Dude, you better, man.
You can laugh at a bar. I promise.
He's going to be like, you know who's not funny? Blake.
Blake's
not funny. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we'll see you all next time.
Hasta luego.
Thanks.